Lesson 31, the present and aorist subjunctive verb. In this lesson, we are going to return to our study of verbs. So far, we have studied the indicative mood. In this lesson, we are going to study the subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood expresses a possibility, a probability, or purpose, as opposed to a statement of fact, a wish, or a command. You remember the indicative mood was a statement of fact or a factual statement, something that is fact happening at the present. The subjunctive mood expresses possibility, probability, or even purpose. Three words for our vocabulary. The following are important conjunctions and particles used with the subjunctive mood. The first word is the word aeon. It is a conditional particle used with the subjunctive. It is translated if. Aeon is a future conditional particle. That is, when aeon is used in front of the subjunctive verb, aeon expresses a future condition. If you might or if you should do something, something yet to happen, a possibility or probability yet to happen in the future. The second word is the word a. It also is a conditional particle, but it is used with the indicative. That is, not with the subjunctive, but with the indicative, it also is translated if. Because a, the conditional particle, is used with the indicative expressing statement of fact, then a really carries with it what is called the condition of the first class assumed to be true. Not just if you are, for instance, in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan challenged Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God. That instance is a perfect example of the condition of first class assumed to be true. The literal translation would be since you are the Son of God. So A, used with the indicative, is translated if, assumed to be true. It can be translated since. Word number 3, hina, is a conjunction used with the subjunctive, and it is translated in order that, showing purpose. We'll see hina used in our exercises in a moment. First of all, before we get to the subjunctive mood verb, we have a verb review. You should remember the following important facts about verbs. A verb describes the action in a sentence. Verbs are made up of two parts, the stem and the ending. Thirdly, the ending placed on the end of the stem tells five things. First of all, tense. Tense expresses two things. The time the action is taking place, that is, past, present, or future. And secondly, the kind of action that is taking place. That is, whether it's continuous or a simple single act. Secondly, the ending tells us voice. Voice expresses how the subject in the sentence is related to the action of the verb. The active voice expresses the subject doing the action to or for someone. The middle voice expresses that the subject is doing the action to or for himself. The passive voice expresses that the subject is receiving the action from someone else. The third thing the ending tells us is mood. Mood expresses the writer's intent to show probability or possibility. That's our subjunctive mood. A wish or desire, a command, or a statement of fact, the statement of fact being, of course, the indicative mood. It tells us, fourthly, person. There are three persons expressed by the Greek verb, first person, second person, and third person. Fifthly, number. Number tells us how many people are involved in the action, singular or plural, one person or more than one. So far we have studied the indicative mood. Just for our remembrance, the indicative mood means the verb is expressing a factual statement, as opposed to an expression of a possibility, a wish, or a command. In this lesson, we are going to study the subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood means the verb is expressing a possibility, a probability, or a purpose, as opposed to a factual statement, a wish, or a command. The subjunctive mood appears only in the present and aorist tenses, except for a rare appearance in the perfect tense. So keep this in mind. There is no imperfect tense. There is no future tense. Just present and aorist tenses. In the subjunctive mood, the present tense only represents action that is continually going on. And the aorist tense only represents action as a simple or single act. There is no difference in time. The action is taking place between the present and aorist tenses. In other words, we've learned so far that the present tense denotes continuous action that is going on at the present. The aorist tense is past action, a simple or single act that took place in the past. In the subjunctive mood, the present and aorist tenses do not denote a difference between the past action and present action. It only expresses continuous action, that's the present tense, and a simple or single act, that's the aorist tense. Here are the present active subjunctive endings. The first person singular is o. The first person plural is omen. The second person singular is ace. The second person plural is ate. The third person singular is a. And the third person plural is osin or osi. Notice it has the movable nu. Now, just to relate these present active subjunctive endings with what we have learned so far in the indicative. In the present subjunctive, the main difference between the present active indicative and the present active subjunctive is the variable vowel is lengthened in the subjunctive. Look back up at our endings. Look at the first person plural, omen. The present active indicative, it's omicron mu, epsilon nu. The omicron is lengthened to omega. Look in your second person singular. Instead of epsilon iota sigma, ace, the epsilon iota diphthong is lengthened to an eta. It's ace, pronounced the same, but the diphthong a is now an eta. Look at your second person plural. Instead of eta, it's ate. The epsilon variable vowel is changed to an eta. Your third person singular. Instead of a, epsilon iota, the diphthong, it is changed and lengthened to an eta, a. Your third person plural. Instead of usin, again the diphthong, omicron upsilon, is lengthened to an omega. So the variable vowels have changed and lengthened. That's the difference between the present active indicative and the present active subjunctive. Here's the present active subjunctive of luo, first person singular. Luo, I might loose. Luomen, we might loose. Second person singular, luace, you might loose. Second person plural, luete, you or ye might loose. Your third person singular, lue, he, she, or it might loose. And your third person plural, luosin, they might loose. Notice again the third person plural has the movable nu. On page 4 we have the present middle and passive subjunctive. Both are alike in form. The context in the Greek text will dictate whether it's middle or passive. Notice the endings. First person singular is oh my. First person plural is omatha. And remember our note from the previous page. These are the same endings as the present active indicative, except that the variable vowel has been lengthened. So instead of omicron omai, it's omega omai. Instead of omicron omitha, it's omega omitha. Your second person singular, a. Your second person plural, aste. Instead of este, it's aste. Your third person singular is etai instead of etai of the present active, or excuse me, the present middle. It's etai. Your third person plural is ontai instead of omicron, it's omega, ontai. Here's the present middle passive subjunctive of luo. Your first person singular, luomai. First person plural, luomitha. Your second person singular, lue. Your second person plural, lueste. Your third person singular, luetai. And your third person plural, luontai. On page 5, we have the aorist active subjunctive. So far we've studied the present active subjunctive and the present middle passive subjunctive. Remember, we only have present tense and aorist tense. Now we take the aorist active subjunctive endings. Your first person singular is so. Your first person plural is somen. Your second person singular is sace. Your second person plural is sate. Your third person singular is say. And your third person plural is sosin or sosi. Notice the movable nu. In the aorist subjunctive, the endings are the same as the present subjunctive. If you compare the endings with the present active subjunctive, the endings are the same. The only difference is the sigma of the aorist tense added to the stem of the verb. So instead of o, it's so. Instead of omen, it's somen. Instead of ace, it's sace. Instead of eta, it's seta. Instead of a, it's say. Instead of osin, it's sosin. Here's the aorist active subjunctive of luo. First person singular. Luso. First person plural. Lusomen. Second person singular. Luses. Second person plural. Lusete. Third person singular, luce. Third person plural, lusosin or lusosi. Notice the third person plural has the movable nu. On page 5, we studied the aorist active subjunctive endings. On page 6, we have the aorist middle. Now, this is not the aorist middle and passive. Remember, the aorist passive has its own system. The aorist middle subjunctive endings. And again, these are the same aorist middle endings as in the present middle endings of the subjunctive. The only difference is that the sigma is added to the stem of the word. Notice your first person singular. Instead of oh my of the present middle subjunctive, it's so my. First person plural, we, it is somatha. Second person singular, say. Second person plural, saistha. Third person singular, saitai. Third person plural, sontai. Here's the aorist middle subjunctive of luo. First person singular is lusomai. First person plural is lusomatha. Your second person singular is luse. Your second person plural is luseistha. Your third person singular is lusetai. And your third person plural is lusontai. On page 7 now, we have the aorist passive subjunctive. Remember the aorist passive in both the indicative, the participle, and now the subjunctive has its own system. The aorist passive system is indicated by the tense suffix theta epsilon. Theta epsilon is lengthened in the indicative to theta eta. Theta epsilon, if you remember, was maintained in the aorist participle, but theta eta, the lengthened form, is now back for the subjunctive. Notice the aorist passive subjunctive endings. First person singular is tho. First person plural is thomen. Second person singular is thais. Second person plural is theta. Third person singular is thay. And your third person plural is thosine or thosi. Notice the movable nu. In the aorist passive subjunctive, the personal endings are the same as the present active subjunctive endings. The only difference is the theta epsilon, lengthened to theta eta, is attached to the stem of the verb. If you notice, the endings are the same, but the theta has been added. In fact, it has been contracted in to the verb ending, forming the circumflex, as we will see in a moment. So the present active subjunctive is luo. The aorist active subjunctive is luso. The aorist passive subjunctive is lutho. It's the same endings applied to the stem of the verb. Only the theta takes the place of the sigma of the aorist and is the sign of the aorist passive. Notice aorist passive subjunctive of luo. First person singular is lutho. First person plural is luthomen. Second person singular is luthais. Your second person plural is lutheta. Your third person singular is luthae. And your third person plural is luthosine or luthosi. Lesson 31, Exercise 1, Pronunciation Exercises. In this exercise, we're going to study the subjunctives in the text of John 1, 1 through 18. All of the material that we have studied in Lessons 11 through 30 are now underlined and parsed in the text. It would be beneficial for you to take the charts on subjunctives, that's pages 47 and 48, out of the chart section of your notebook for reference as we go through this exercise. We're going to begin at line 1 and read the Greek, translate it, point out its grammatical function in the sentence, and then when we come to our subjunctives, emphasize those for you. Line 1. NRK. Prepositional phrase. N is a preposition used with the dative. In beginning. Ain was imperfect tense showing continuous action in the past. In beginning was hologos, the word. Kai hologos ain, and the word was. Again, the imperfect tense for ain, showing continuous action in the past. Pros ton theon. And the word was with the God. Pros is a preposition. Pros ton theon being a prepositional phrase. Pros is a preposition when used with the accusative case is translated with the sense of equal with the God. Line 3. Kai theos ein. And God was hologos, the word. Again, the emphasis on the verb ein. Imperfect tense, continuous action in the past. God was the word prior to the word becoming flesh. He always was the word. Reference, Genesis chapter 1. Line 3 at verse 2. Houtos, the near demonstrative pronoun. This man. Ain NRK was in beginning, prepositional phrase. Pros ton theon, another prepositional phrase, with the God. Remember, prepositional phrases show relationship. This one was in beginning, and at that time was equal to God. Line 5, which is John chapter 1, verse 3. Panta, all things, dia to, prepositional phrase, through him. When dia is used with the genitive, dia is translated through. Through him, agenito, became. That is, all things through him became. Notice agenito is our second aorist, middle indicative. The aorist tense denotes simple or single action in past time. And so, all things through him became. That is, at the time of creation, it happened once. Kai choris autu. And without him, choris is a preposition when used with the genitive, is translated without in the sense of separate from. And separate from him, agenito ude hen ho gegonen. And separate from him, became not even one thing which has become. En auto, in him, prepositional phrase, and used with the dative case. Zoe, ein, life was. Again, ein, the imperfect tense, showing continuous action or continuous existence. In him, life was continuously in the past prior to him coming. Kai heidzoe, and the life, ein, was tophos ton anthropon. And the life was the light of the men. Again, the verb ein showing continuous action in the past. It was not a single act. His life was continually the light of the men. Line 9. Kai tophos, and the light, ente skotia. Ente skotia is a prepositional phrase. En, again, used with the dative. In the darkness. Line 10. Phine. Here's your third person singular, present active indicative. shines, is shining presently and continuously. Kai heskotia auto u kateleben. And the darkness, it not did overtake. Line 11, verse 6. Agenito anthropos, there became a man, apestomenos, having been sent para theou, prepositional phrase. Para, when used with the genitive case, para is translated from. Onoma auto Ioannes, the name to him is John. Line 12 at verse 7. This one, again the demonstrative pronoun, the near demonstrative. This one came, Aelfen, is your second aorist. Active indicative of erkomai. Second aorist denoted a simple single act in past. This one came, he came in a point in time, for a testimony, ace marturion. Ace marturion is a prepositional phrase. Ace, used with the accusative, is translated for. This one came for a testimony. Then in line 13, we have our first subjunctive verb. Hina marturese. In order that he might testify. Showing purpose. Hina with the subjunctive shows purpose. He came for a testimony, the purpose for it, in order that he might testify. Peri tu photos, concerning the light. Again, peri tu photos is a prepositional phrase. Peri, the preposition, when used with the genitive, peri is translated concerning or about. That he might testify concerning the light. Line 14, we have our second subjunctive. Hina pantes pestusosi. Notice, in order that all might believe. Again, the purpose for his testimony concerning the light was so that, in order that everyone might believe. Showing purpose. Possibility. Doesn't say so that everybody will believe, so that they might believe, have the chance to believe. Notice in line 13, marturese is your third person singular, aorist active subjunctive of martureo, the verb that we had back in lesson 11. Notice pestusosi is your third person plural, aorist active subjunctive of pestuo, I believe, back in lesson 11. Line 14, D autu. As we go to page 10, diautu is your prepositional phrase, dia, with the genitive is translated through him. Uk ein ekenos tophos. Not was that one the light. Ekenos was your far demonstrative, that one over there. Line 16. But Hina marturese, peri tu photos. So that one was not the light, but in order that he might testify concerning the light. He didn't come to be it, but he came in order that he might testify, showing purpose. Again, the prepositional phrase, peri tu photos, that he might testify concerning the light. Line 17. Ein to phos, to alethinon. He was the light, the true. The word true is an adjective that describes phos, the light, true and genuine. Alethinon is in the attributive position. It follows the article to. He was the true light. Ho, which, line 18. Fotidze is another present active indicative. Showing continuous action at the present, which he is continuously enlightening panta anthropon, every man erkomenon, continuously coming, eis ton kosmon, into the world. prepositional phrase, eis ton kosmon. Eis used with the accusative, eis is translated into. Line 19. En to kosmo ein. In the world he was. Again, prepositional phrase, in the world. And ein, the imperfect tense showing continuous action in the past. He was continually in the world. Kai ho kosmos diatou egeneto, and the world through him became. Egeneto being a second aorist middle indicative, the second aorist indicative showing simple or single act in past time. So, and the world through him was created at a point in time. Kai ho kosmos auton uk egno, and the world him did not know. Eis ta idia, into the things of his own he came, eltha, eltha being a second aorist active indicative of erkomai, eltha denoting he came at a point in time in the past into his own things being creation. Kai hoi idioi, and his own people, notice hoi idioi is now masculine plural, while ta idia was accusative plural neuter. One are his own things because it's neuter, and his own people because it's masculine plural. Him, auton, u perelebon, they did not receive. Hosoi, as many as, but, de. De is a conjunction, it is postpositive, that is, it comes second in the sentence. But it's translated first. But as many as received, elabon, second aorist active indicative, showing simple or single act in past time, but as many as received him, auton, he gave, edoken, autois to them, exousion, authority, tekna, theou, children of God, genesthai, to become. There's our infinitive for next lesson, genesthai, to become children of God. That is, tois pistuousin, to the ones who are believing. Pistuousin being a third person plural, present active indicative, showing continuous action in the present. To those who are presently and are continuously believing, eis to onoma autou, into the name of him. Prepositional phrase. Line 26 at verse 13. Hoi uk ex haimaton, who, not out of bloods, ude ek thalematos sarkos, neither out of the will of flesh, ude ek thalematos andros, nor out of will of man, line 28, al ek theou egenetheson, but out of God as a source they were born. Line 28 at verse 14. Kai and hologos, the word, sarx egeneto, became. Egeneto being the second aorist middle indicative again. Showing simple or single action in the past. The word became flesh, he was not was flesh. He was not existing as flesh, but he became flesh at a point in time in history. Kai eskenosen and tabernacled and hemin amongst us. Kai etha asamatha, we beheld the glory autu of him. Doxan hos monogenus, glory as of an only begotten, prepositional phrase, para patros. Para used with the genitive, para is translated from the father. Line 32. Pleres charitos kai aletheas, full of grace and of truth. Ioannes marture periautu, John is testifying. Notice in line 33 the first word, marture is a third person singular, present active indicative. He is presently and continuously testifying, prepositional phrase, periautu, concerning the Lord. Peri, the preposition used with the genitive, is translated concerning. kai kekrega, and has cried, saying, legon. Line 34. Hutos ein hon epon. This one was whom I said, ho opisomu, the one after me, erkomenos, coming, and prosthenmu, before me, has become, gegonen. Has become is a perfect tense. Verb, we'll take that in within the next few lessons. At the end of line 35, hoti protosmu ein, because first of me he was. Ein's the tip-off here, because ein tells us continuous action in the past, because it's imperfect tense. He was first of me, that is, he was the head of me. First in line, he was in the past and past history. Line 36 at verse 16, kai ek tu pleromatos, and out of the fullness of him, autu. Notice the prepositional phrase, ek tu pleromatos, autu. We ourselves, hemes pontes, all received, elabomen. Notice hemes, it is intensified because elabomen, the omen ending, is the first person plural. It is already translated, we received. But because the first person plural pronoun, hemes, is used, it intensifies. We ourselves all received. Kai karin, and grace, anti karitos, succeeding grace. Anti karitos, anti being a preposition, when used with the genitive, is translated succeeding in the sense of one after another, to take the place of something. Line 38 at verse 17. Hoti honomos, because the law, dia moseos, through Moses was given, edothe. Notice dia moseos, through Moses. Dia used with the genitive, dia is translated through, prepositional phrase. End of line 39. He charis, the grace. Kai he aletheia, and the truth. Dia Jesu Christu, through Jesus Christ, prepositional phrase, dia, the, used with the genitive case, dia is translated through. Line 41, egeneto, a second aorist, middle indicative, showing simple or single act in the past, and the truth through Jesus Christ became. Line 41 at verse 18, Theon, God, udes, no one, he oreke, popote, has seen at any time. Line 42, ho monogenes huios, the only begotten son, the one ho on being or existing, eis ton kolpon, into the bosom, prepositional phrase, eis with the accusative, tu patros, of the father, far demonstrative, ekenos, that one, exegesato. Exegesato is a third person singular. First aorist, middle indicative. That one declared him. Because it's an aorist tense verb, it shows that the declaration of the truth of God happened at a point in time in history, and that we stand today having received the full revelation of what he wants us to know. You should study this exercise while going on to lesson 32 and the study of infinitives.